Jenny Mack with your daily comedy news. Conan O'Brien says the only way to get out of the Matrix is using a landline. So who's the boomer now? Larry the Cable Guy, it's kind of embarrassing when I order a party platter for the football game and the person asks me how many people are coming over and the answer is zero. Mark Normand, more Americans are pulling out in Texas now than Afghanistan. From the New York Times, Norm MacDonald's comedy was quite Christian. This piece is by Matthew Walther. Walther said he was surprised that few of the obituaries of Norm MacDonald mentioned his Christian faith. Norm did not often discuss his personal life, and his mannerisms were so flippant that it was often in doubt whether he had any serious views about any subject. In later years, however, he spoke and wrote at length not only about his belief in God, but also, with more reluctance, about his opposition to abortion, telling Dennis Miller on Dennis Miller's radio show one time, "I don't like saying it because it's unpopular." By the end of his life, Norm MacDonald seemed to have abandoned even his well-known animus against O.J. Simpson. Norm was on Comedy Central in 2019 and said, "All he's guilty to me is the greatest rusher in the history of the NFL. Maybe I was the greatest rusher to judgment." In a set in 2009, Norm MacDonald made a dismissive reference to atheist Bill Maher. Norm asked the audience to consider the question of life after death. Norm said, "There's only two things. You got to look at the evidence that God exists. None. That's not good. Then you go, what's the evidence that God does not exist? None. So they're equal. One of them is for sure right. You just have to hazard a guess at that point. So what do I do if I have two choices?" And I go, "What do you got?" The guy goes, "When you die, you get to go up and play a harp on a cloud." "Well, goddamn, I always want to play a harp. What do you got? What happens when you die in your plan? They put dirt on you." Asked by Larry King if Norm believed in eternal life, Norm said, "I don't believe it. I have faith. What people don't understand about faith is that you have to choose it." The Laugh Button caught up with Ari Shaffir. They said, "Ari Shaffir, you're known in the comedy circles as being a big champion of fresh new talent. Who are some of your current favorites out there?" This is always a good topic, right? Ari Shaffir said, "Mike Vecchione and Adrian Iapolucci are great, great comics who need more bookings at clubs. They just have a massive draw, but are like so effing funny, so I'm always looking for ways to put them over. There's a few comics that I try to put over, and it's not about them making friends with me. It's about them being deserving and not getting where they should be. Like Big J Okerson for a while was like that. Like, really take care of, like, how can we get this guy to be financially and creatively free? So we did that with Big J. He's his own guy now. He's free and people know him. Now he's on his own. He's great. A few of the younger people I've seen since the pandemic, actually, Emma Willman and Caitlin Palufo. I just saw Caitlin Palufo a couple times in the last month, and she effing crushes, so she's one. I don't know how long she's been in comedy, but she slays. It's weird. She's like doing this male style of comedy. If you think everything's blurry now with the internet, as gender roles kind of break down in society, I think it's kind of breaking down in comedy. So like those stereotypes of chicks talk about this or guys talk about that. You have some of that still, but you have less and less of that. But you can be influenced by anybody now. There's this ballsy, brash, typically a male style of comedy, but I think that might be changing now, and it's just effing funny. When I started, I didn't have cable, so we saw a few late-night spots, whoever's on The Tonight Show. Otherwise, The Laugh Factory had a show on Saturday night on CBS or NBC, maybe Fox. Whoever was on that, I didn't see any specials, so my influences would not have been somebody else's. Somebody else who might have been really versed in stand-up might have had a Carlin or whatever. But I didn't find Kinison stand-up until I was way into stand-up, and I loved him, but he wasn't a big influence on my stuff as, say, The Simpsons or the comics I saw at the Comedy Store like Don Barris and Bob Oshak and Freddie Soto, the people I saw killing it every night like Joe Rogan, the people I saw there just killing it like Ralphie May. They influenced me more than those other guys. And now with the internet, even when I started, it was like if you missed a Comedy Central special, you missed it. And now everything's online, so you can just watch it again and again if you want. A new comic might now have Mark Normand as their big influence or Big J. Okerson as their big influence. It's like the sky's the limit if you just take what you want. It's pretty interesting. Now even the Edinburgh-style hours have kind of blurred in everything, too. Those are being recorded now, so Americans have access to this UK-style comedy. Speaking of UK-style comedy, from MyLondon.com, the Bill Murray Comedy Club, a hidden comedy gem that plays host to Stuart Lee and James Acaster. The Bill Murray is the sister club to Angel Comedy, as the more experimental of the pair. It has seen many famous names walk through its door to test material. The Bill Murray Comedy Club was established after Angel Comedy started a Kickstarter campaign to expand into a nearby pub. They named it the Bill Murray, but they never heard back from American comedian Bill Murray as to whether or not they had his blessing. So they decided to officially name the venue William Murray, 1st Earl of Dysart, who, of course, as you know, was Charles I's childhood whipping boy. The intimate stage and seating arrangement means if you're lucky enough to snatch some tickets to one of your favorite comedian's secret gigs, you'll be so close you could smell them. Some of those famous comedians that pop in, James Acaster, Ellie Taylor, and Stuart Lee. There's also a stable of regular performers that provide a variety of different comic styles who appear in weekly Friday shows. Speaking of Bill Murray, back in the early 1980s, Bill Murray had a role on a surreal sci-fi comedy that never saw the light of day in theaters. It's called Nothing Lasts Forever, and Nothing Lasts Forever was never released. Screen Rant says Nothing Lasts Forever is an offbeat, genre-mashing movie directed by SNL alum Tom Schiller in his first and only feature outing to date. Zach Galligan plays a young man named Adam Beckett, who dreams of being an artist, but doesn't know how to go about it or exactly what type of artist he wants to be. To that end, Adam travels to a retro-futuristic New York City that's under the totalitarian control of the Port Authority of New York, which makes aspiring artists prove their worth with a practical exam. Adam's journey takes him to an underground network where he discovers the city's homeless population is actually running the city. And then Adam goes to the moon on a bus serviced by a ticket conductor played by Bill Murray. Screen Rant adds, one might think Nothing Lasts Forever was shelved because it's a bad movie. It sure sounds like one. That's not necessarily the case. Some people who saw this movie said it's a masterpiece. They've invited MGM to screen the film at the Cannes Film Festival. The studio declined. MGM has not given an official reason as to why Nothing Lasts Forever has never been released, but there are a couple theories. One theory is that MGM thinks it's an art film and made clear that's not a compliment. Adding to the film's woes was a truly disastrous test screening, and it seems the studio heads decided to abandon the film after realizing it didn't have commercial potential. Another theory suggests copyright issues could be to blame. Nothing Lasts Forever features a ton of clips from classic films of yesteryear, like Battleship Potemkin, some French film, Intolerance, and that might have thrown up a few intellectual property problems that MGM couldn't overcome. Whatever the reason, the movie has never received a theatrical or home video release in the United States. Nothing Lasts Forever isn't quite a lost film, however. It's been broadcast in several countries, including the UK, Germany, and Italy, and it's been screened at a few festivals and events. I just did 5 seconds of internet research trying to find it online. I failed. Now you want to see it, right? Nothing Lasts Forever. Today's Sunday, which means there's a new episode of the Weekly Comedy Thing on the Live by Live app. That is the weekly show I host where I tell quick stories. But the thing there, unlike here, is I can actually play comedy bits. So if I told you a story about, I don't know, John Mulaney, then I could play a John Mulaney bit after. So it's called the Weekly Comedy Thing. The app is called Live by Live. It's spelled Live X Live. And it is free. The Weekly Comedy Thing on the Live by Live app. Do it. Speaking of John Mulaney, we haven't gossiped about John Mulaney yet today. From Cheat Sheet, John Mulaney's dog Petunia travels the New York City streets by stroller. Anna Marie Tindler explains why. I've been sitting on this story, so the timeline here, this is before all the Olivia Munn news came out, but the story from Cheat Sheet, John Mulaney's French bulldog Petunia went for a stroll in New York City, but opted to see the sights from her stroller. Mulaney's then-wife, Anna Marie Tindler, took the pup for a walk and explained why she sometimes prefers to ride instead of walk. Plus, Tindler admitted that she gets odd looks for some people on the street wondering why she's pushing a dog in a stroller. In an Instagram story, Anna Marie Tindler said, "Guess who's not walking? Petunia! A lot of people make faces at me. They pass me on the street walking Petunia in the stroller, and I say to them, would you want to be cooped up in an apartment all day long? She can't walk too well. It's too hot. But she wants to see the sights, and she loves being a New York City girl, getting out on the town. So, stroller." Then, you know, people got into it, and then Tindler had to jump in and be like, "Oh, I want to clarify when I said she can't walk well. She can walk fine. She can't walk well in 90-degree heat, not more than 10 paces before she's flat on the pavement, like a pancake." Petunia stroller rides are nothing new. John Mulaney wove people's reactions to seeing Petunia into his stand-up. His joke was people lean in to see the baby, and instead they see a gargoyle breathing like Chris Christie. When Mulaney hosted SNL in 2019, he said, "My wife and I have a French bulldog. Her name is Petunia. We push her around New York in a stroller." This next story is absolutely true. My wife was pushing our bulldog Petunia in a stroller down 7th Avenue a few months ago. She's pushing her down 7th Avenue. My wife gets to 7th Avenue and Leroy Street. At 7th Avenue and Leroy Street, a car pulls up. Out of the car steps Woody Allen and Sunyi Previn. My wife stares at Woody and Sunyi. Woody and Sunyi stare at a woman pushing a bulldog in a stroller. The four of them stare at each other. and they're all kind of nod to say, none of this is right, and then they went their separate ways. You know who else went their separate ways? John Mulaney and Anna Marie Tendler. Oh, did I just make you feel bad? From The Hollywood Reporter, John Stewart was asked how he settled on the title of his new show, which is called The Problem with John Stewart. One of the possible titles was The Money Grab with John Stewart. John said it really came down to the issue with or the problem with, and everyone thought one had a better swing to it. But one of the things I try to tell everybody at the show is, like, we're not going to use everything, and everything's going to help us get to a place that's useful. And that's the thing with the title. It started out like, okay, people know me from The Daily Show. Do we go monthly? Do we do that? And what are we talking about with the show? It's issues, but people are going to say this. Well, why don't we call it Lower Your Expectations for John Stewart? And going back and forth with ideas is the part that I bleep and love. The Hollywood Reporter said, did you consider a comma after the problem in The Problem with John Stewart? John said, oh yeah, there's a meeting about punctuation. We're all talking about, okay, what do you think about a comma? It's the thing that I love exposing with politics, which is everything you see is an intention. Somebody built it. Somebody made a decision. Like in the Iraq War, the whole, we don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud. That came from a meeting. That was a PR guy, and they had meetings every week to talk about the best way to talk about going to war. And that same meeting is the one where I had to figure out what to call this bleeping show. That's what I love. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Instagram at Daily Comedy News, buymeacoffee.com/Daily Comedy News. Catch you tomorrow.